Well, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this word that is going to be spoken, that it speaks to us, that your word speaks and reigns true in our lives, and we open our ears, and we open our eyes, and we open our hearts to you this morning, and hear the word of the Lord for us this morning that will help change our lives and define us into our Christian beliefs and keep us steadfast and in our firm foundation. Lord, I thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we say amen. Amen. Well, last week, we touched on the topic of building a house, if you were here last week. We talked about building a house, and we talked about the tale of the two men who built a house, one built on the rock and one built on sand. Amen? And you can read that in Matthew. We first then talked about what needs to come first, and we talked a little bit about that we have to lay a foundation first. Amen? And in talking to some people, that's one of the first things you do when you build a house, a real house, is you have to make sure you level the ground and plow the area and lay the foundation. And so we talked last week about laying that foundation. The foundation must be rooted in Jesus Christ. We also looked at some proverbs that talked about the foundation. Well, it says the fear of the Lord is the foundation. And then we define the fear of the Lord as being honor and respect, and not the wrath of God, not that kind of fear, but honor and respect for the Lord and what he's done, what he's created, and what he's done in your life. That is our fear of the Lord and understanding that. And so we talked about that, and fear of the Lord is having respect for who and what God is in each of your lives. And this fear of the Lord, or this reverence, or this honor and respect then leads to wisdom, salvation, and things of that nature and the like. That's what we talked about last week. In our lifetime that we have, and I'm speaking of in our life, we go through and we may not get a new body. I may not get a new body in my entire life. I have the same body. You're going to have the same body. It's the same, right? Your skin's the same. Right? You might not get a new body, but building on a proper foundation, as we talked about last week, means that in real life, we tear down our old foundation and we repair it. We remodel it. And this is where we're at today. Last week, before last Sunday, I heard the word of the Lord for this is to build a house. And I touched on this last week a little bit. And I believe that he meant this for a two-part series on building a house. That first you have to lay the foundation, and then once you lay the foundation, now we can build. Now we can build our walls and build our rooms and place things where they're supposed to be. Place things where we should be, amen? And so in our lifetime, we're not going to get new bodies where we can just build a new house, but we have the same body. So in our lifetime, what we're talking about is rebuilding and remodeling what it is we have old into something new. And then we can start our remodeling. How many of you watch TV a little bit? It's not a sin. There are a lot of TV shows about remodeling and do-it-yourself stuff and these things. And Nina and I enjoy watching those sometimes because I fancy myself in being somewhat of a do-it-yourselfer. I'm not very good at it, but it's fun to do. And so these TV shows show you how to take an old home and remodel it into something new. I'm sure you've watched some of these, yes? Right? And some of it's amazing. Like, you don't even know that it was the old house. That's what I'm talking about. Becoming a Christian is very similar to that, where you have this old wrecked home. It's up for I don't even remember what you call that. Auction. It's dilapidated. There's green growing all over the place and brown all over the place and dust all over the place. Windows are cracked and roof is falling down and all these chips in the wall and everything cracks in the foundation and whatever. And they purchase these things and then they put time and effort into what they're doing to create a brand new home. You understand? And this is our word for today, is that taking an old home and then remodeling it into something new in which it was never like before, and so much so that previous people who might knew you or knew the house don't even recognize the house anymore because it's so new and so different. Amen. That is the word of the Lord for today. In your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Corinthians. I have a lot of scriptures today, so if you're taking notes, just make sure there's, you have enough ink in your pen, or you have enough pencil, lead in your pencil, or if you need a sharpener, take a knife out and shave it down, whittle it down. Or if you have a phone, just 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. And I'm speaking from the New Living Translation. It says, "Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you?" Amen. The Spirit of God lives in you. So we got to understand that we must then, as Christians or as believers, then build or start anew and start the remodeling process. It's time to remodel. It's time to transform what was into what will be. Amen? First with the laying and the strengthening of our foundation that we talked about last week, and now it's time to build or remodel this house, the house of the Lord, where the Spirit lives. Now it's time to remodel where the Spirit lives in you. First you lay the foundation, then you rebuild. Amen? Your body is a house. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You don't belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body." You are filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? You are filled with the Holy Spirit through the word of the Lord. John chapter 6, verse 63 says, "A spirit alone gives eternal life." Who in here has a spirit living inside? Hopefully you say, "Yes, I do." Then it says in 63, "The Spirit alone gives eternal life." Spirit lives inside you. That means you have been given eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing, and the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Colossians 3:16. "Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to the Lord and with thankful hearts." All of this meaning we have our foundation in Jesus Christ, and now it's time to build up the proper walls that need to be built. The Spirit lives inside of you, and we're going to see something that's happening here. God will not dwell if there is sin in the house. Amen? Christ dwells within you when the Spirit of the Lord is in you, but we have to understand that the Spirit of the Lord will not dwell in a place that is full of sin. So the Spirit of the Lord comes in and he has to do a makeover. He has to do a remodeling of things, tearing down, breaking down, building back up. And this is what happens when, if you have been in a lifestyle of doing sinful acts, and then you have made a life decision to change and to follow Christ, you know that walls come down, and then you rebuild the house of the Lord. Things of the old man fall away and the new man come forth. Amen? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 through 18, it says, what harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? It says, for we are the temple of the living God. And God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out and among the unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Do not touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. And I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. God will not dwell where sin is. Amen. Now that'd be tough, but that's the truth. It says here then, do not touch the filthy things. As Christians, as believers, we need to get away from those filthy things that the world and all these things have for us or that we used to do and become the new person, the new man, or the new woman. Amen? If we turn to the book of John, we'll see this again. John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17 says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. The spirit side of you is trying to remodel. The flesh side of you is trying to keep things the same. We have to follow the Spirit and let the Spirit remodel our lives in such a way that Jesus has told us before. Let's go to 1 John. Like I said, I got a lot of scriptures here because I want to point something out for you. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, it says, this is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. They're talking to us. God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. Verse 6, so we are lying if we say we have fellowship with him, but go on living in spiritual darkness. That fairly simply says God won't dwell in your house here if there's spiritual darkness there. But what he wants to do is he wants to come in and clean it out. But if you're going to continue to have that spiritual darkness on the inside, then the Holy Spirit will not live there. 1 John chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. It says, but when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning of time. Who has been sinning since the beginning of time, but the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So now we can tell who are children of the devil and who are children of God. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. We need to remodel ourselves, remodel our bodies based upon what Christ has said. Let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 21. It says, God, God has called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. Here's an example, and you must follow in his steps. So see, we got to remodel our lives, remodel this house in what Christ has said, and be a living example, and be living after what Christ's example was. And it says here, in verse 22, it says, he never sinned nor ever deceived anyone. Verse 23, he did not retaliate when he was insulted nor threatened revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. In 24 and 25, it says he personally carried our sins in the body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. Following in the example of Christ and remodeling our temple, remodeling our house, is listening to the words of Christ and doing as Christ did. And in every situation, I'm going to go back to those old wristbands that used to be WWJD. What does that mean? What does that mean? What would Jesus do in every situation to be more Christ-like? You need to ask yourself then in every situation, what would Jesus do? Verse 24, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. Live after the example of Jesus. That's all he's saying. Remodel yourselves after Jesus. James chapter 1. You see, Jesus laid out the floor plan. You understand? Jesus gave us the floor plan. It's right here. All we have to do is remodel our house after that floor plan. It's real simple. In James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must also do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. So live as an example that Christ gave you, but be just like that, a doer. Christ was a doer of the word. So as an example, build our house just like Christ, remodeling in the way of Christ and being then a doer of the word. Amen. Be a doer of the word. Remodel just as Christ told us to. In 2 Kings, let's turn to 2 Kings. That's the Old Testament now. In 2 Kings chapter 19, and you can read through this, and this is where Assyria was coming down on Judah and Jerusalem and God's people. And in verse 30, it says, in chapter 19, verse 30, it says, and you who are left in Judah, who have escaped the ravages of the siege, will put roots down in your own soil and will grow up and flourish. You see, in this particular situation, Assyria was coming down at Judah. And God would protect them in the efforts to let them learn what would happen if they did not repent. So the Lord said of those remaining, you will rebuild. We will rebuild what was lost. We will rebuild what you've been lost. And if we liken that to a lost soul, your soul has been lost, and now God says, we will rebuild what was lost. Amen? We will rebuild what is lost. You will rebuild what is lost. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, we can read verses 9 and 10. It says then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, look, I have put my words in your mouth. Today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kings. Some of you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow. Others must build up and plant. In the same way, we must sometimes tear down what we've had built up before, and now that our lives are more Christ-like, it's time to tear those non-Christ-like rooms down and build up new Christ-like rooms. Amen? A new Christ-like house. We must tear down our worldly mindset and build it up with a spiritual mindset. I'm sure most of you know this next scripture. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 very simply says what? Let's read that. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God what? Transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Another way to put transform is to rebuild. Another way to put rebuild is to remodel. So not only now do we have a brand new foundation in Jesus Christ, but now we have to transform what was into something new. Amen. These are the next steps in breaking through the old foundation and laying the new foundation, tearing down the old walls of the old person and making a new house of the Lord. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 says, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that the sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. Foundationally in Jesus Christ, tearing down the old walls of the old person and building up new walls in Jesus Christ, we are no longer slaves to sin. We no longer follow the enemy. Me, as followers of Christ, as believers in Christ, and changing our foundational belief from having a foundation that is worldly and focused on ourselves and what we can get out there with money, 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 and things, are now, we broke that foundation, we rebuilt a new foundation in Jesus Christ, and now we are rebuilding the house by tearing down the worldly views and bringing in biblical views and spiritual views. Does that make sense? We tear down the worldly mindset and build up a spiritual mindset. In the same chapter, Romans chapter 6, but in verse 12, it says then, do not let sin control you in any way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. And what we have read before is that when the Spirit lives inside of you, sin doesn't have to be there. We are no longer slaves to sin. So we don't have to sin anymore. Do you understand? What lives inside of you doesn't have to choose the sinful way. What lives inside of you can choose the spiritual, Jesus way, godly way. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 3, or chapter 4, excuse me. In Ephesians chapter 4, where can I get there? Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 22 and 23. It says this, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life. Isn't that what we talked about in Romans chapter 12, verse 2? Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. And verse 23 says, instead now, let the Spirit that lives inside of you renew your thoughts and attitudes. And verse 24, if you read on, then it says, put on your new nature, created to be like God. Created to be like God. Truly righteous and holy. See, when our foundation is set, now the remodeling is really simple. We tear down what is not of God and we rebuild what is of God. If anybody's tried to build something, I'm not talking a house, I'm just talking about like a sandcastle or something on mud or something on that's not on a stable foundation. You know that the easiest thing that can come and wash it away, The easiest little breeze could come in, blow it away and blow it down. But when you're building on a strong foundation, it's a little bit more stable. So we can say that building on a decaying or a weak foundation will cause structure failure. We can read Luke chapter 6. We read this last week as well, but Luke chapter 6 is the account of the tale of two men and building your foundation. It says in verses 47, it says, I will show you that what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. Somebody comes to me. Jesus is talking. When somebody comes to him, so we then first come to him, which he says, come. So we come to him, listens to his teaching, and then follows it. Verse 48 says, and it's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against the house, it stands firm because it is well built. Building on the right foundation leads to a strong house. Building on rotten foundation will break down the house. That's what we talked about last week. This week we're talking about building the house. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's go to verse 11. Building the house of the Lord is building your body as the temple that houses the Holy Spirit. And so in verse 11 it says, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that was already have in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 20. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20 says, together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, it says, but God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription, the Lord knows who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. Remodeling is that turning away, that transforming, that rebuilding. That's what we're talking about. Like it said in Romans 12:2, transform your mind into new thinking, from the old way to the new way. From the old flesh way to the new spiritual Jesus-centered way. That's what we're talking about, remodeling the inside. But understand that remodel the inside so that change is not just an appearance. You need to remodel the inside. What I mean is that you can't just come to church. You can't just say you read your Bible. You can't just say you pray all the time. You can't just do that and then not change the inside. Because then that's fake. That ain't real. How many of us in here like fake people? We have to set our foundation and then remodel the inside. Amen. Because we know that what comes out of you is from the inside. So we change the inside, we then change the outside. So remodel, not just for appearance sake, just because it looks good. Oh, I go to church every Sunday. Oh, I read my word sometimes, not all the time. I pray when I have a chance. Blah, 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 blah. Remodel so it is not just an appearance for appearance sake. But remodel to be true and to be real. Sometimes, I'm sure none of you here have this problem, but sometimes, maybe me, you're only worried about how you appear to other people. We're concerned about how others view us. Oh, they're going to think I'm this, they're going to think I'm that. Let's turn to the book of Matthew. Let's think about that. We should not be worried about what other people think of you. I should redact that statement and say, you shouldn't be worried about it. They should just already know who you are. Amen? They should be able to look at you and see the Christ aura that comes out of you. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 says, watch out! Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose reward from your Father in heaven. Not concerning yourself with what other people think about you. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 5, it says, everything they do, he's speaking to the Pharisees and speaking of the Pharisees, Jesus speaking of the Pharisees, everything they do is for show. On their arms, they wear extra wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside, and they wear robes with extra long tassels. Everything's for show. Remodel the inside so the change is evident on the outside. Don't just think that you're putting a once over here and everything's all hunky glory. Because if you try to gloss it over, it's still crap on the inside. It's still crud foundation. You can put some paint on the walls of your house, but if it's still a bad foundation, it's still rotting wood, it's still going to fall no matter what the paint says. In Luke chapter 16, verse 15 says, then he said to them, you like to appear righteous in public, but God knows your hearts. What this world honors is detestable in the sight of God. Allowing worldly things to still have control in your life is not remodeling. It's putting a paint on the outside of the house, but still allowing crap on the inside. And I'm sorry if that word bothers you, but that's the only word that I can think of that really hits home in my mind. Crap. Because it is, it's crap. In Luke chapter 6, verse 26, what sorrow awaits you who are praised by the crowds? There's more, for their ancestors were praised by false prophets, but it says, what sorrow awaits you who are praised by the crowds. Because if we're praised by the crowds, we're worried about what people see on the outside. We didn't fix what's on the inside, which means we might still have that cracked foundation. We might still have that rotting wood and the termites in there that are rotting away at your house. And when the winds come and the flood rains come, it will wash your house away. Don't waste your time in appearing righteous. Understand that what we've read today says that the righteous are his children. And the blessings will pour out on the righteous, on his children. Let's turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Verse 28 and 29. Don't be surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son. Verse 29 says, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Oh, I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, He personally carried our sins in the body, in His body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By His wounds you are healed. With anything that is built and built with a reason and built to last, there's a cost. There's a cost to be paid. With anything, you know, that lasts a long time, there's a cost. Let's turn to Romans. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. It says, But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. Jesus paid for your sins. Jesus paid for you to remodel your house. He gave you the money to remodel your house. Everything, whatever you need to remodel, He gave it to you. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. I want us to read verses 3 and 4. It says, May God the Father and your Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Jesus gave His life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue you from this evil world in which we live. See, Jesus paid the price. God sent His Son to pay you to rebuild your house. No questions asked. You just get here you go. Jesus paid the sins. Jesus asked that you give Him your life, that you might gain life. Let's look at that scripture. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. If you know the scripture, then you can quote it. But it says that, Luke chapter 9, verse 23, then He said to the crowd, If any of you wants to be My follower, you must turn. There's that turning or that transforming or that remodeling type sentence again. If any of you wants to be My follower, you must turn from your selfish ways and take up your cross daily and follow Me. For if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for My sake, you will save it. So see, if you don't take what Christ has paid you to remodel your house, you're going to lose that. But if you take what Christ had given you to remodel, you will save it. Amen. By giving Christ your life, let's turn to John chapter 12. By giving Christ your life, you are building your house the right way. Amen. In John chapter 12, in verse 26, it says, anyone who wants to serve must follow Me, because My servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves. By giving Christ your life, you are building your life the right way. And the reward is great. Amen? 1 Corinthians. If we understand the reward, 1 Corinthians tells us in chapter 3, verse 24. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 14. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. So if we rebuild our foundation and remodel our house the way Christ has taught us to, and Christ has told us to, it says here that if the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. Amen? Amen. I want that. In Colossians chapter 3, Verse 24 then also says, remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. 2 John, verse 8. Watch out that you don't lose what we have worked so hard to achieve. Be diligent so that you receive your full reward. There it is. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked so hard to achieve. God has given you the way to build a new life, the way to build a new house. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked so hard to achieve. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, then tells you, and this is what God has testified. And here's the reward for building on the proper foundation and for taking what God has given you and remodeling your house. This is the reward. Chapter 5, verse 11. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Amen. 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 That's the reward for building the proper foundation and for erecting and remodeling the proper house. The house of the Lord that the Lord would dwell in, that the Spirit would love to live in. The reward is great. Eternal life. Amen? Let's turn in our Bibles to Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Consider Paul's words here. But suppose we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ, and then we are found guilty because we have abandoned the law. Would that mean Christ has led us to sin? Absolutely not. Rather, I am a sinner if I rebuild the old system of the law I already tore down. By rebuilding your broken walls, by rebuilding your broken walls that you tore down, you then are a good structure for God, and you can be saved, and you can help and encourage others as well. But if you try to rebuild those walls that you tore down and go back to your vomit, then, it says, you are then a sinner. So what you tore down, leave behind. Take it to the junkyard. Let it go. And keep what you built up in Christ. Amen? Keep what you built up in Christ. And why do we want to keep what you built up in Christ? Because then now you're saved, and now you can help and encourage other people in their process of building their houses. Amen? That's what we're called for. We're called to be an encouragement, helpers in the ministry. Amen? I want to leave you today with a quote. How many of you know, ever heard of C.S. Lewis? Here's a quote concerning houses. Imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps you can't understand what he is doing. He is getting the drains right, stopping the leaks in the roof, and so on. You knew that those jobs needed doing, and so you are not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts and doesn't make sense to you. You ask, what on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he is building quite a different house from the one you thought of, throwing out a new wing here, putting an extra floor here, running towers up here, making courtyards over here. You thought you were being made into a decent little cottage, but he is building you into a palace. He intends to come and live in it himself. Amen? That is what God is trying to build you into. A palace to where he can come in and he can live and flow out of. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Now as we're standing, I want you to lift your hands and I want you to close your eyes. Let's just start thanking him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have given to us freely. Thank you, Lord God. Freely undeserved. Freely undeserved. Thank you, Jesus. Father, that you've given us the tools and the material to tear down our old house, to redo our foundation, and to build up the new house, and not just a little cottage, but the palace that was intended for you to live in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray that in our lives we get the understanding that you have given to us freely, and that all we have to do is accept that and tear down our old walls and rebuild a house that is glorifying to you, that your body is my body, our bodies are a place for you to dwell, and that you are remodeling so it'll be a place for you to live in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray over these people today that they receive your strength and they receive your blessings and they receive your word and that it helps build their house. Build a house that's glorifying to you and that can house your Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord, that their house, the old is torn down, the rotting wood is torn down right now. Receive it. Receive Jesus as the general contractor that comes in and tears down the old walls and the old foundation. Breaks out the single pane windows and puts in that new foundation and builds strong structural walls and a brand new roof and plenty of rooms. A palace for you. I pray, Lord, I bless them. Thank you, Lord, for their heavenly houses. Thank you, Lord, for their body houses that you can live in and flow from. Let their bodies be a house of work where you live in and you work from. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I declare over all these people here this morning, transformed, remodeled in Jesus' name. Transformed and remodeled into the liking of your palace, into the liking of your will. Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. I want you all to say that I receive my new foundation. I receive my new walls. I receive my new levels. I receive my new windows. I receive my new palace. I receive it in Jesus' name. I throw those old walls out. That new foundation is gone in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Transformed by the renewing of our mind to not be like the old man, but to be a new man rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you, Jesus. God, you are so good. So good. Yes, Lord. I receive that. I receive my new palace in Jesus' name. Where you live, Spirit of God, no sin can live. We flush out all sin so that the Spirit can reign true. The Spirit can reign where you are King, where you are Lord, where you are in charge. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You are not a little cottage, but you are a mighty palace in Jesus' name. Say that, I am a mighty palace. I am a mighty palace. Speak those words. I am a mighty palace where the Spirit of the Lord dwells in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Amen. Amen. I'm sure you can all smell the brownies cooking. Thank you all for coming today. God bless you. As you leave, remember that you are a palace that houses the Holy Spirit. Show the world your palace, your mansion. Amen. And on your way out then, fill that palace with some sweets so you can bring in some guests. Amen. 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 Have a blessed week. Spanish service this afternoon. Youth at 5 tonight. Prayer this week. Wednesday service. The truth about your calling. Amen. Amen. Support New Gen Bible Club at the school as you go. Praise God. You are all mighty men and women of God. God bless you. Amen. Amen.